You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
Afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are when you are listening, this is the Monsters and Friends podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to the lesser known cryptids, legends, and lore that need some love of their very own. I am your blood-sucking host, Count Michael Patrick, and I'd like to thank you for doing the Monster Mash with us. It's terrible, I know. Welcome to a very special Halloween edition of the Monsters and Friends podcast. This episode is dedicated to you, the amazing listeners that make this thing a success and make it possible. Unfortunately, Barry is not with me tonight as he has dressed up as his favorite member of NSYNC and he has gone bye-bye-bye to do some trick-or-treating. Have no fear, though. He has assured me that as soon as he figures out how to do the whole editing thing, he's going to give you a special show of his very own. I know he's been promising that for a while, but I mean, he's a Bigfoot. I don't know. He's out and about. However, I really pray for you guys that it's not like a Barry Sings the Hits podcast. As someone who hears him sing, it is not nice. Either way, this evening's podcast isn't done by me. This podcast is done by you, the listeners. This week we have two awesome tales. One is about a cryptid, and one is about a pretty cool local legend. I really hope that your Halloween is or was amazing, depending on what day you listen to this. And I also hope you have lots of sugar, whether it be via trick-or-treating or hitting up those amazing candy deals at the store. Yeah. No matter which one it is, grab some candy, kick back by the fire, and let's listen to your stories. Both stories tonight come out of the Lone Star State of Texas, so it's like a de facto Texas show. Let's head on down there for our first story. In Texas, there is a little town called Anson. It's located about 20 miles north of Abilene, give or take. There is a crazy phenomena or legend, I'm not really sure, located there that a friend of mine had the privilege of witnessing firsthand. With that being said, let's make our very first stop on this Halloween episode down in Texas and let's visit the Anson Lights. In his letter, he wrote, "Hey Mike, recently we had chatted about your podcast. It sounded really interesting to me, and while I was explaining it to my wife, she suggested I told you about an encounter I had in Texas about 10 years ago. A buddy of mine that I went to college with was stationed at an Air Force base in Abilene. He was working with the Army Corps of Engineers, and I was in town for his wedding. I went about a week earlier so that we could do bachelor stuff like golf and other guy things. After about 3 days of drinking, we decided to take a night off. I asked him what was fun to do in the area, and he had mentioned that he spent most of his time on the Air Force base tinkering around with things. He wasn't really a big social guy. He'd be happy spending the night designing Dungeons and Dragons characters or whatever on the 3D printer. He did tell me about some weird legend in the area, though. He said it was about 20 to 30 minutes away up near a town called Anson. It's on private property, though, so he wasn't sure how close we'd be able to get to see it. I figured it was worth a shot, so we hopped in the car and made our way up. When we got there, we headed down this dark, fairly creepy road. We pulled up to a cemetery on our left, and he stopped the car. He started to give me a bit of a rundown of the legend. This old lady had 3 sons. They lived in a house on the road where the lights are located. One night, the old lady sent the boys out to chop some wood and said if they had any problems to shine their light 3 times. Well,
As it has it, they not only found trouble, but were brutally murdered. While one of the first boys bit it, one of the other boys shined the light 3 times and Mama came running. By the time she got there, the kids were all dead. Now she wanders looking for them. Of course, I thought the story was nonsense, but hey, it sounded fun. We slowly started to roll again as I scanned the cemetery for signs of shenanigans. What better way to mess with a buddy than dress someone up in a scary mask and have them charge the car when we pull through? I asked my buddy what I was looking for, and simply he said, "Patience, you'll see." He drove up past the cemetery like 400 feet or something to some weird spooky crossroad. The 2 dirt roads went nowhere. I sat in the passenger seat looking ahead, waiting to see this spooky thing, but it never came. Of course, we weren't there yet. My buddy turned the car around in the road so that we were facing where we had just come from. Still waiting for the spooky thing, still nothing. My buddy turned out the car lights and looked at me. "Here we go," he said. Then he flashed the headlights towards the cemetery 3 times. "Of course, here's the sign," I figured. Then, maybe 15 seconds later, from out of nowhere, a light materialized. After just driving past the cemetery, I knew where the light was, and there was no way someone could pop up and turn on a flashlight. The light also moved across the road. It swung and swayed, and my brain kept telling me it was simply someone. I told my buddy to turn on his lights and put on the high beams. He knew what I was going for, so he obliged, and the light simply vanished. From the middle of the road. Nothing. No one was there. I told him to drive closer and try again. We drove up about another 100 feet and did it again. Flashed 3 times. Bam. It popped up again. One more time. We drove closer. Flashed 3 times. Nothing. I told him to wait a few minutes and try again. We waited about 5 minutes and then he did it again. Flash 1, flash 2, flash 3. It appeared. But this time, we could see something faint with it. Maybe a mist or an outline. It kind of looked like a woman in a dress, but we really couldn't make out much besides the dress. Slowly, the light started to move. This time, it came towards us. We waited and watched until we saw flashing lights coming up from behind us. According to the officer, apparently this is private land and we need permission to be there. We knew that, but played dumb. My buddy flashed his military ID and the officer wished us well and told us to be on our way. That was an order neither of us had an issue obeying. Thanks for letting me share this story and I hope it helps. Happy Halloween. The Anson lights are a pretty big point of contention when you start thinking about the quote-unquote weird world. There's a lot of different stories and a lot of people think they have explanations for it, but who knows? Maybe when we head down to Texas and Old Winnie here, we'll have to pay Anson a little visit and see what they say. Either way, makes for a fun, spooky Halloween tale. Our next submission also isn't too far from Anson. It's still in Texas and just a little ways away. The story actually comes via someone other than me as well. Thank goodness, right? Someone to talk other than my fat head. The story actually comes from Amanda in Fort Worth. It seems that Texas has a lot of strange things going on down there, it would appear. But don't let me tell you about what wanders throughout Texas. Let's let Amanda do it.
Hi, Mike. Hey, Barry. What's up, Monsters and Friends podcast listeners? I'm Mandy Foster, and I'm going to tell you about my favorite cryptid, the Lake Worth Goatman. The Lake Worth Goatman made his debut in Fort Worth, Texas on July 9, 1969. That evening, a group of 3 couples were parked out by Lake Worth, a local lake, when around midnight, a hairy monster jumped out of the trees and jumped directly onto their car. He attempted to grab one of the ladies, but they were too fast for him, and they piled in the car and they sped directly to the police station. They described the creature as being covered with both fur and scales and being part man and part goat, hence the Goatman name. What little pe- What few people knew at the time was that police had already been receiving reports for the past 2 months of a monster-like creature running around the lake, but they had dismissed it as a hoax. However, based on the genuine terror of these six witnesses and an 18-inch scratch on the side of the car reportedly caused by the monster's claws, they took it seriously this time. They opened an official case, and they sent four units of police out to the lake to search. However, the police found nothing. The next morning, the local paper, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, had a very alarming headline. It read, "Fishy man-goat terrifies couples parked at Lake Worth." Side note, Jim Mars, who was a legendary JFK conspiracy guy and the author of many awesome UFO books. Check him out on Amazon, y'all. It's two R's, Mars with two R's. He was a Star-Telegram reporter at the time, and he actually wrote that article, which may explain, now that I'm thinking about it, the crazy headline. So after that article came out, Fort Worth caught monster fever. My mom, who was there at the time, said that the goat man was literally all that anyone could talk about. So as monster fever grew, everyone headed out to the lake the next night to catch a glimpse of the big, hairy beast. Hunters loaded up on guns and ammo and beer and went out there in pickup trucks to try to kill it, because it's Texas. Teenagers piled into their cars and went out there because they were just looking for a thrill, because they're teenagers. And the cops, who were very alarmed at the combination of drunk armed hunters and crazy teenagers, were out in droves to make sure nobody got shot. While no one could ever really agree on what the Lake Worth Goatman looked like, no one could disagree on one thing. The Lake Worth Goatman was one hell of a showman. As people milled around the original clearing, he suddenly popped up on a small cliff overlooking the people. He, according to witnesses, let out a mighty roar and threw a very heavy tire some 500 feet. Everyone, including the Fort Worth PD, fled the scene in panic. They were like, "Peace out, Goat Man. That was some awesome tire throwing, but I have things to do, I have people to see, and I do not want to be here next to a fishy man goat." So all the witnesses of that sighting agreed that he was huge and he was furry. They estimated him to be about 7 feet tall and about 350 pounds, which is a whole lot of goat man. In the following months, other witnesses reported seeing a large hairy creature running by the lake. People found large footprints, much too large to be that of a man, on the shore. And sadly enough, people reported finding some of their sheep murdered in a very gruesome, bloody manner. And if that is true, I would just like to say, bad goat man. Very, very bad. If you're part goat, that means sheep are technically your cousins. Yeah, I'm stretching a little bit, but yeah. And it's very rude to murder your cousins, so bad goat man. In November of that year, a local man was driving near the lake when he and his friends noticed a big hairy beast pop up out of the grass. He was smart enough to grab his camera, and he got one Polaroid, which is the only photo we have of the Lake Worth Goatman. The photo, because it's a cryptid photo, is of course blurry and out of focus. It shows what could be interpreted as a pale, furry hominid walking in a semi-sideways manner away from the viewer. Or it shows what could be some yokel covered in a big fur rug running. You look at the photo, you be the judge. Sadly, that is the last official sighting of the Lake Worth Goatman. However, there is still hope. The Fort Worth Nature Center and Refuge, which is where the original sightings took place, holds an annual monster bash every October. Now this year, 2019, is going to be the official 50th anniversary of the original sightings. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that he's going to show. He has to. It's the 50th anniversary. Why wouldn't he come? So if he does, I will be there, and I'm going to take a photo with my camera, and it's going to be a much better photo than the original Polaroid. And if I do, I'm going to send it to Monsters and Friends podcast, obviously. So anyway, you guys keep your fingers crossed for me. Thanks for listening, and y'all have a happy Halloween.
So I feel like this might offend some people, but I'm not sure if I ever want to visit Texas. It's like the U.S. version of Australia. Ghost lights, goat men, chupacabras, aliens, yokels with a shotgun. I mean, holy moly. Whew, I'm glad I live where I live. I am also very glad to be in the relative safety of this campsite. Either way, thank you so much, Amanda, for sharing that tale with us. I find it super interesting that it's a scaly thing, yet it's called a goat man. Weird, eh? Maybe it's just a guy like you. It's a yokel in a rug. Who really knows? No matter what it is, thank you so much, Amanda, and thank you, Mike. Ironically enough, no, I'm not thanking myself. The other individual who sent in the ghost light story, his name is also Mike, so thank you to Amanda and Mike for sending in those awesome stories. If you have any stories or if you just want to interact with us and say hello, there are a slew of ways that you can get a hold of us. If you go to Twitter, if you go to at MNFpod, Instagram, at Monsters and Friends, and actually on Instagram, I'll go ahead and I'll see if I can't find that Goatman photo that Amanda was talking about, and I'll post it on there. And if she takes a photo, a new photo of Goatman, I'll put it on there and we'll make millions. Millions. Yeah, I'm a terrible vampire or evil genius. I don't even know. You can always find us on Facebook as well. If you just go and search for Monsters and Friends Podcast, there you will find us. But please make sure to give us a listen. Give us a subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Uncle Miggy's Podcast Emporium, wherever it might be. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. It helps very much. And if you're bored, always feel free to give us a review and a little bit of feedback and tell us how we're doing. No matter what, though, we are always excited to be able to give you guys some cool, fun, and exciting stories. I really, really hope you enjoy these. I hope you have a fantastic Halloween, and I can't wait to chat with you guys again real soon.